You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris and Tom Morley here to hopefully point you in the direction of a winner or two on the card at Bath on Monday. We've also got alongside Bath racing at Catterick on the level. We're jumping at Newton Abbot. There's an evening card at Kempton on the all-weather, and Irish racing comes courtesy of Ross Common. They've got a jumps programme on Monday, so plenty to go out. We'll also be reviewing the best of Saturday's action, but first and foremost, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Tom Morley. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, Sam.
Good. Stringing okay form at the moment, Tom?
Not great. Could be better.
You've been bemoaning your luck all year, though, haven't you, with seconds and thirds?
Yeah, there's still plenty of seconds happening.
Every time I see you, you've got a running total on how many times you know what? finished second this year.
I've got bored with that at the moment. I'm not going to count again until the end of the year, because it's a big total.
Yeah, it was up to... It was 40, 50 odd, wasn't it?
It's got to be somewhere around that level. It's quite horrid.
Yeah.
Not that second's terrible.
Yeah, sure.
It's
yeah.
just not the same as winning.
Yeah, no, indeed. But they're at least running okay.
Yes.
Which is better than running terribly. As you say, we'll start the podcast today with having a little bit of a reflection on some of Saturday's top races. And we'll start with the big race today, the Cambridgeshire, which went the way of Wissahickon. It was a good day all round for John Gosden, had a double on the card at Haydock, as well as landing the big race of the day at Newmarket. And it was really a bit of a case of the first one and the rest were nowhere. Took apart the race a little bit and won convincingly.
Yeah, I mean, I had a runner in the race, but I don't think we had much chance anyway, and we certainly didn't have much chance once the two groups split in a very uneven amount. So anything on the near side, I think, was probably cooked as soon as the split happened. But yeah, I mean, this Wissahickon is obviously a little bit of a character, but as you say, to be honest, demolished the field, didn't it? I mean, you know, it's rated, 107 anyway. Mm. I mean, that's a pretty nifty performance. You can't knock it. And
and we talk about potential group horses running in a handicap. I mean,
it's got to be, hasn't it? Because
to win a race of that nature, that convincingly.
Yeah. You know, I mean, strictly speaking, how much in theory should he be going up in pounds for a three and a quarter length victory? And it doesn't take very far back and you're 6-7 lengths. So I think that's got to be the case. And it's perhaps just a question of whether he can keep his naughtiness under control. I mean, if he doesn't prove to quite make it to group level, he can always change the C to a G and that might help. They might want to be keeping those just for the time being whilst they see actually how far this horse can go.
Mm. It was a fine day for Aidan O'Brien as well domestically. Obviously, had Mendelssohn that finished third in the Grade 1 race at Belmont Park. Again, a bit of a tune-up for the Breeders' Cup Classic with Thundersnow also second in that race. Incidentally, the race was won by a big-priced outsider. But in terms of his performance domestically, first three races of the day at Newmarket, all group contests, all went the way of Aidan O'Brien. Donnacher O'Brien on board all three of them.
Mm.
I want to talk 10 Sovereigns principally, though, who won the middle park, beating Jash by half a length. They were nicely clear of the rest of them. Two really good juveniles, and I don't think Jash lost anything in defeat. Looking forward to seeing both of these next year. Probably going to be the case, and Ken, who was on track as well, mentioned yesterday, they look Commonwealth Cup horses, really. They look like they're going to be Group 1 sprinters next year as opposed to being potential guineas horses.
Yeah, and as you say, the form stacks up because you've got Rumble in the Jungle third, who's obviously rated 109, and the other beaten horses are all rated well into 100. So the fact that Jash was 98 was really because he hasn't run that to warrant anything more. But clearly he is very decent and looked quite professional. I thought 10 sovereigns still in some ways looked a little bit green. I thought there would probably be more to come from him, you know, when he actually learns a little bit more about the business. But I mean, it was, you know, a very quick time, and it was just a cracking performance from 10 sovereigns. And, you know, a lot of people were going on about Aidan O'Brien, who perhaps was having a rough time for him.
I was just about to say that. Like, it seems bizarre that a month or so ago we were talking about the yard being quiet. I mean, he's not a man you can kick down for very long.
No, and it's probably benefiting him right now. The fact that they did have a little quiet period, whether a few of them were sick, they're fresh now in comparison to a lot of the others. So now you're seeing them just come out, perhaps some of them a month later than they would have done otherwise. But no, back bang in form. And then Fairyland obviously winning the Cheveley Park as well. And that, you know, that was a pretty eye-catching performance as well. I mean, there's a few, I guess one would have to say, some disappointing performances, wasn't there? Pretty Pollyanna. But, you know, if the trainer's inclined to blame the dip for the run...
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's quite a few races at Newmarket, so...
People are well aware that the dip exists.
Yeah, so you know, looking forward, if it really was the dip, you know, Pretty Pollyanna and Newmarket are probably not going to be the best of mates. I mean, Signora Cabello, that ran a stinker, really, didn't it? So you'd sort of hope that there'd be a reason for that, because otherwise that's just disappointing. But the Mac and Bullet, that looks a good horse for Brian Ellison. But ultimately, you know, I think Fairyland did it well. I think So Perfect has got, you know, a bright future as well. I do think that just a little bit outpaced late on, but was still a decent performance from that one. So, yeah, once again, Aidan O'Brien, mob-handed.
Yeah, and it attracted high praise as well from Donnacre O'Brien, who suggested Fairyland, one of the best 6 furlong horses they've got in the yard, and that's a yard that's obviously got an embarrassment of riches. And as you say, Pretty Pollyanna and Signora Cabello, both disappointing. They both got designs on races at the Breeders' Cup as well. And Connections might be having a little bit of a rethink.
Yeah. I mean, certainly Phoenix Thoroughbreds obviously own Signora Cabello, and they definitely want to make a mark over there, don't they? As for Pretty Pollyanna, you know, if it really was the dip, then I guess it's not like she's run bad.
Yeah. She's run considerably better than Signora Cabello, who, as you say, you would almost hope that something would come to light, that there was some kind of issue there.
Definitely.
Because that was too bad to be true,
It was
really.
Too bad to be true. Almost tailed off, wasn't it, basically? Yes. I mean, it eased, if you like, but it's the same result. So, you know, obviously Connections will see how the horses are, and you know, then perhaps, they'll go over to the Breeders' Cup. Should be quite a few, I think, horses from this side of the Atlantic going over this year. So,
yeah.
We'll see what happens in a month's time.
Yeah, indeed. And not too far away from the Breeders' Cup. That recaps Saturday's action. Also, wanted to quickly ask you as well. You purchased one or two from the Keeneland sales.
Yeah,
three, there you go. Anything you're particularly excited about? Were you there? Did you go?
No.
Conducting the operations via phone, were you?
Yeah. Robert Cowell was ringing me up every time he saw one.
Did he physically go?
He physically went. Okay, yeah. He goes there, and I think basically just stands. And there's so many horses out there, you can't really do much.
Yeah, sure.
He got a little bit. What's the word? When I started, I sent him a small list on the second day he was there.
You at least had a little look through the book, and
which is pointless, really, because there's so many. There's so many of them, and they're American pedigree. So what do I know, really? But I decided there were a couple of stallions that potentially I quite liked.
And so it
got to about the end of the day. I said, "Have you looked at my list?" And he's like, "No," because I'll just tell you if I see one I like, and
so you didn't even get the horses that you
The thing. So I only sent a list of 20 on day two, and I ended up buying one of the ones on the 20.
All right, okay, yeah.
And then on the last day, he was over there, more of an afterthought, really. I think I started. He said, "Oh, I'm just trying to look for a slightly cheaper one," and I was like, "Yeah, that's okay." And then I started sending him a couple of numbers. He's like, "Do not start this again." But then we got to one and he liked it. So we bought that one as well.
Well, okay.
So we got a couple of fillies and a colt. Time will tell. They'll be over. I presume they'll come over in about a month or so's time after quarantine. And they probably looked rubbish because they'd have been in the quarantine barn.
Yep.
Picking up every illness.
Were they yearlings that you were buying? Which would that be a bit of a change of tack for you personally in terms of buying horses? You tend to buy horses that are already in training.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I can't think if I've ever bought a yearling from this country.
Okay, yeah.
But I did buy three, of course, there last year.
Right. Okay.
One of which was Pocket Dynamo. So I
guess. Oh yeah.
I guess that's sort of. Wouldn't mind another one of them and
infuse you again this year.
But it is, you know, at the end of the day, bought Pocket Dynamo, sold Pocket Dynamo. If you add the six, because I bought three last year in total, I'm still in credit compared to the sale of Pocket Dynamo.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll see.
And that's a big attraction for yourself. Buying and selling for a profit.
I think for people like me, you have to sell sometimes. Otherwise, you're just not getting any back. There's no point waiting until they've lost their form and sell them for small amounts.
Yeah.
I think you do need to sell some, and there'll be a few of mine will be in the horses in training sales at Tattersall's in about a month's time.
And you seem to sell Pocket Dynamo at the right time. It hasn't really kicked on since, has it?
He's only run the once.
Right, okay.
France, he came third behind Signora Cabello. I think it was third. Might have been fourth, actually. Can't remember. I did watch. Behind Signora Cabello. And then Robert's horse has got a bit sick, so whether he suffered from that, I would have thought, and I haven't spoken to Robert about him at all, the original plan was for him to go over to the Breeders' Cup and run in the juvenile turf sprint.
Right, okay.
Which, certainly if I had kept him and hadn't sold him, would have been the thing, and I would have anticipated him being pretty close to favourite for that at the time I sold him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if that is still the idea, but it certainly was at the time.
Okay. And the yearlings that you have purchased, are they named already, or do you get the pleasure
of naming
them?
No, I've got to name them.
Okay. What have you got any names in mind?
I haven't got any names in mind because I thought I'd let them get to this country first, alive and kicking, before I
just do me a personal favour. Don't name it like the one you named after that flower, Episcia or whatever.
I
hate trying to pronounce that.
That's all right. I sold her 800 quid.
but she's still.
She's gone to Germany now.
Oh, right, right.
You won't see her again.
Good, yeah, good.
Germany or Poland. Might be Poland,
yeah,
but
yeah, please,
somewhere far away.
Please name them something that I've got half chance of pronouncing. On to the action coming up on Monday. Yeah, no, I made a rod for my own back there. We're going to look at a couple of races at Bath on this edition of the podcast, starting with the 2:45. Sprint handicap for apprentices on the way. Field of 10 runners down to contest this one. An apprentice sprint handicap wouldn't be everybody's bag, Tom, but I know you like to challenge yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Punish yourself. Talk us through this one.
Not only an apprentice sprint handicap, but a very inexperienced apprentices. And hands and heels only. So
yeah.
we're going the whole...
Yeah, because very often when you look down the list, there are often some names that jump out in apprentice races, but they're a little bit few and far between in this race. The likes of Kieran Schofield and Scott McCullough in the race, but there are a fair few that are inexperienced in here.
Yeah, and just to top it off, my selection is Kasbar, who wins once every blue moon.
Yeah.
But this being a race for inexperienced jockeys, you know, ability of the jockey can be important. I do think William Carver's all right, so that's a good start for Kasbar.
Mm.
Also, Kasbar's dropping here into a Class 5. Now, he did run in a Class 5 for the first time on his last outing at Sandown. I mean, he was quite slowly away that day and held up out the back. Not a good idea at Sandown sprint course, that style of running, and he just never got to challenge at all. I think he can be excused that. And prior to that race, he's been playing in much better company than this, run numerous respectable races, hasn't won as many as he should have, that's for certain, and his last victory was a long time ago. But I think with a decent pilot, the lower grade race, I mean, to be honest, this is a lower grade race than Kasbar's pretty much ever contested in his career. I think the intermediate 5.5 furlong trip should suit. I think he ought to be able to prove his quality finally here and come out on top. I mean, some of that form where he's been placed repeatedly is not bad. I mean, I know Secret in the Park won the other day, didn't it? And that finished just behind him in third. So, you know, I think he can come out on top here. And looking at the opposition, I mean, oh dear. Field of Vision, that's another one that drops down in Class 5 company. I mean, it's generally competitive at this level. But all best recent forms at Chepstow, and he's run poorly the last twice. Little Palava's been tumbling in the weights. I mean, that's just because he's been out of form. King Lamy wins now and again, but seems to like Wales. Powerful Dream has been reserving his victories for the all-weather. Sorry, her victories for the all-weather, Powerful Dream. Last three runs have been poor anyway. Look Surprised won a couple of races over the summer, but is, I think, handicapped to the hilt now. Andalus Sight won at Brighton a couple of starts back over further, and I can't fancy that one over this sprint trip. Belle Desert ran her best race of the season here back in May, but I mean, it's been tumbling down the weights due to a series of poor runs. Did actually finish ahead of the selection last time, and if the wind surgery continues to work, I think that one could run into a place here. Major Valentine gave this jockey her only victory when winning at Chepstow on his last outing, but given that one's overall record in recent times, it's just hard to see that one following up. And Ignite's just been poor in all recent starts, so really, Caspar, you just got to win this.
Okay.
You know, he's got to win sometime, and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
This is a, you know, compared to what he normally runs in, this is a shocking race.
Caspar then on the class drop the choice in that 2:45 race at Bath. We stick at Bath for the second race on today's edition of the podcast, the 4:20, looking at another sprint handicap, this one for the professional jockeys. And I hope you haven't selected this race purely on the name of it, the Tailors of Bath handicap, obviously named after your better half, Tom.
Absolutely.
Well, it isn't named after her, but but her name is in the title.
I hadn't even spotted that. And I'm sort of going sort of with the same type of thing as Caspar here, because I'm going for the class dropper, Union Rose, at the top. I mean, this horse actually last ran in a race that Caspar came second in, so perhaps we'll see how Caspar gets on and see if we can frank the form for a start. Union Rose has had a pretty bleak year, but generally this horse can test Class 4 races, and last year was contesting Class 2 races. Here he is, now Class 6. Another, probably hasn't won the races he should have, but two of his three turf victories were here. This jockey's also won on him, albeit over 4 years ago, but still, it's a small plus, and it was at Bath. You know, this is definitely the easiest contest this horse has contested. And at what should be a, I would have thought, an each-way price, he could offer, I think, a bit of value in a, you know, again, a race full of really exposed individuals. And you'd just like to think that Union Rose's class would come out on top. I mean, the rest I can go through in very briefly. I mean, Swendab has been well held since popping up at the start of August. Secret Potion, unlucky last time. Saddle slipped. And he's just been in reasonable nick in this sort of race. So I think that's definitely an each-way alternative and one of the main dangers to Union Rose. Yogi 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 ran well last time at Brighton. Indeed, won at this track over the extended five back in June. I'm not sure about the sharp five, though, being ideal for that horse. Grecian Divine hasn't been seen for a few months, and this looks too sharp for her. Archimedes likes it here, usually a prominent runner, but it's just a horse who's very hard to read. Pops up out the blue when, sort of when he fancies. Flowing Claret's drawn wide, needs more. David's Beauty's been winning at Chepstow, and I think the handicap has caught up with her. Jaganori's drawn wide, hasn't looked like winning. And to be honest, all of the others, I think they've got to find more.
Okay.
So, again, you'd really like to think that dropping in class, Union Rose should come out on top here.
A couple of class droppers then, a couple of top weights to follow on a Bath's card on Monday. Caspar in the 2:45 and Union Rose in the 4:20. Thank you for that, Tom. Pleasure as ever and best of luck.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.